from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali. We're going to begin in Silicon Valley, where the tech industry says President Trump's plan for a merit-based immigration system, unveiled Thursday, won't fix the shortage of skilled workers. KQED's Farida Javala-Romero reports.
President Trump is proposing that a bigger share of green cards, the pathway to citizenship, should go to younger, more educated immigrants rather than people with family ties in the U.S.
We discriminate against genius. We discriminate against brilliance. We won't anymore.
But Silicon Valley industry groups with big-name members like Google and Apple see problems with this proposal.
Many people working in Silicon Valley came from very humble backgrounds. They came with ambition and drive and intelligence, but they might not necessarily have had a degree from a certain university.
Peter Leroy Munoz is with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. He says Trump failed to offer any fixes for the millions of undocumented people or young dreamers who risk losing deferred action for childhood arrivals. Plus, no mention of expanding the H-1B visas companies say they need to fill job openings. One positive, he says, is the president recognizing the connection between innovation and immigration. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala-Romero.
The Trump administration is canceling $1 billion in funding for California's high-speed rail project, saying the state has abandoned its original vision. It was once supposed to connect San Francisco to Los Angeles, but for now we'll focus on building a line through the Central Valley. Governor Newsom says the move is illegal. In Oakland this morning, California leads 20 states in arguing against the president's declaration of a national emergency to secure border wall funds. Attorney General Javier Becerra says President Trump unlawfully bypassed Congress in February to divert money that would have helped state economies. And Sacramento's largest teachers union is postponing next week's strike, a sign of progress in talks with Sacramento City Unified, which could run out of money this fall. The district is applauding the decision. Well, mental health clinicians at Kaiser Permanente are threatening to go on strike again. Their union says there's been no progress in contract negotiations since they hit the picket line in November. Here's KQED's April Demboski.
Kaiser Permanente is in denial about its mental health care crisis.
The Union for Therapists put this ad on cable TV this week. They say their patients have to wait too long for mental health appointments, sometimes 2 months or even four. The head of the union, Sal Roselli, says this time his members authorized an open-ended strike.
Did a five-day strike in December. 93% of these folks participated in it. Since then, the situation has only gotten worse.
Kaiser says the union's allegations and ad campaign are predictable and cynical. In a statement, the company said it's actually close to a new labor agreement. It called the strike threat a tactic to force the union's financial demands. For the California Report, I'm April Demboski.
Well, the price tag on a University of California education is going up for out-of-state students. The move is drawing loud protests from those in-state. KQED's Vanessa Roncagno explains.
In a split decision, Regents voted to hike out-of-state undergraduate tuition by $762. For 2 days, Regents heard students like UCLA's Sachi Cooper plead their case.
$762 might seem incremental, but that $762 was the flight that my friend took home for her grandfather's funeral. And it was the flight that I could not take home to stand by my mother's side during her surgery.
2 years ago, the University of California okayed its first cap on the number of out-of-state students over concern that qualified Californians were getting left out. But UCLA Chancellor Jean Block told Regents out-of-state tuition continues to subsidize other costs.
There really is a need for these resources to keep the institutions excellent.
The increase is expected to bring in $26 million in new revenue next year, most of which would benefit in-state students. $3 million will be set aside for financial aid to help out-of-state students. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Roncagno.
Here in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments Thursday in the case of a transgender inmate suing the state of Idaho and a private prison health care contractor. Audrey Edmo is biologically male but considers herself female. Idaho is appealing a lower court ruling ordering the prison to provide Edmo with gender confirmation surgery. Amanda Peacher is a reporter with the Mountain West News Bureau based in Boise.
She's twice tried to castrate herself in prison. And so her attorneys say, like, look, this is a sign that she needs more medical care, and not providing that care constitutes cruel and unusual punishment, which is a violation of the Eighth Amendment. So it's a high standard that she has to prove in order to win this case. She has to prove that the prison was deliberately indifferent to her medical needs.
Edmo is serving time for sexually abusing a 15-year-old. California allows gender confirmation surgery for inmates who meet certain criteria. In Sacramento Thursday, lawmakers sifted through the so-called suspense file. This unglamorous and somewhat undemocratic process is how bills live or die. And joining me to break it all down is Guy Marzorati of KQED's politics team. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Lily.
Guy, for the purposes of this morning, let's call this segment Kill Bill, shall we?
Let's do it.
Why don't we begin with what exactly happened on Thursday?
So this suspense file process, let me start with the kind of Schoolhouse Rock version of this, which is basically the idea, let's bring together all the bills that could potentially cost the state money. Instead of deciding on them one by one, let's bring them all together and get kind of a full picture of the money that the state is potentially appropriating. The kind of real version of this is a perfect place to kill bills without leaving many fingerprints. I mean, in both houses, you don't see a vote count when bills die. Often, in some cases, the bills aren't even read off that die. So if the chairs and if the leadership of the houses don't want bills to advance, this is a perfect place to kind of do away with them.
And just to give listeners a sense of how this process sounds, let's take a listen to Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez of San Diego, who is the chairwoman of the Assembly Appropriations Committee.
Now, this one's my favorite. Ready for some rev and tax blood spilling?
So the process as it plays out is like a cattle auction. You'll hear the chairs just kind of read out and rapid fire these bills. And we know Lorena Gonzalez, she likes to have some fun with it. She has this hashtag, Appropes Hell. She relishes in the process. And that was her yesterday having a little fun with it.
Okay, well, on a serious note, what would you say was the most important bill that lived or died yesterday?
I think it had to be Senate Bill 50. This was a very controversial housing bill to push for more dense housing in the state. It would have overrided a lot of local zoning laws. And I think this is the perfect example of the power now that the appropriations committees have, because this bill was not opposed because of spending concerns. It was opposed because it would make a big change in housing laws throughout the state. But the Appropriations Committee, again, is the vehicle that is used to kill really controversial bills.
Hashtag Appropes Hell. You heard it here first from KQED politics reporter Guy Marzorati. Thanks.
Thanks, Lily.
And that is the California Report for this Friday, May 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with additional engineering from Rob Spate, Jim Bennett, and Seal Muller. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, helping low-income Californians get the health care they need, on the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.